Even though you might not feel like it, you need to say it, believe it, trust that God is good. Yes, I'm from Scotland, Pennsylvania. Scotland, yes. I live on Scotland Road, Scotland, Pennsylvania. It's a small town, right off of 81, if you know Interstate 81 in Pennsylvania. If you blink, you'll miss it. We'll have more cows than human being, and you can smell it every morning when you wake up. So coming out here is a treat for me. And let me tell you guys have a really good church. You really do. I've been to a lot of churches before, and something about this particular church, God has really blessed my heart. And the worship team, praise team, wow, I was blessed once again. See, I don't cry much. I don't. But you guys made me cry again today, last night and today. Just the songs that you picked out really touched my heart, and it's just great to be here. And I shared this with Pastor Isaac that my time here has been uplifting for me. I've been really blessed. And this is my fifth time preaching, okay? Usually by this time, I'm like, oh, let me get on that plane. I want to go home. But no, I feel energized. I feel blessed. And I'm so glad I got to spend this time with you. And hopefully the Word of God has been planted in your heart. And now we pray, and hoping that it will bear some fruit. Scotland, Pennsylvania. Yes, the school was founded about 3 years ago. Very young school. We do have two schools there in Korea, combined with about 1,000 students in Korea. And we started this campus here in America. Some Korean pastor had a vision to have international school where we bring in students from different parts of the world who do not have opportunity to study in the United States. And we bring these students right here in the United States and we teach them. We're a unique school. We are a boarding school, but it's a Christian boarding school. Every morning at 6:30, we have worship. Hello. 6:30. Can you imagine teenage boys and girls, you know? They got to get up 6:30 in the morning and we have time of worship. We're a little lenient in that Tuesday and Thursday, they have to be here. All right? Mandatory. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, they don't have to if they don't want to. So you can sleep in. So you imagine about 30% come out Monday, Wednesday, Friday. 70% they sleep in. We have a pretty much same curriculum as public schools. We have AP courses, and a lot of our students are doing really, really well. And one of the things that is unique about our school is that everybody has to take Taekwondo. Yeah. Boys and girls, you come into our school, you got to start. White belt, that's fine. All right. So freshmen, if you start out, and we have classes twice a week, by the time they graduate, they can kick some butt. All right, second, third degree black belt. Right. So they're ready because we believe in physical training as well. And Taekwondo really helps them to be disciplined and also protect themselves. We had a girl that graduated last year, went to Purdue, and she had some incidents, and she just went, I can't do that myself. I don't take Taekwondo. But she just said she put her foot right against this guy's nose, and he just ran off. All right, so we want to teach our girls to protect themselves. Our vision is to raise up Christian leaders who will go out to the world and be the leaders of this world. We don't want them to be pastors. Well, if we want some of them, but not all of them. We don't want them to be just all missionaries and pastors. That's not what we're all about. We want them to go out and share the gospel and be the leaders that God called them to be. Actually, I came to Columbus, Ohio, because one of our graduates last year is attending OSU. Christine Kim. She's part of the KM ministry. And she, somehow God led her to speak to Im Moksanim, who's sitting right here, and he contacted me, and then here I am. And it was such a privilege to meet her and see how well she's doing here at school. And I'm so grateful for this church because she was looking for a good church. And I didn't know. I didn't know any good church out here in OSU area, Buckeye, right? Buckeye area. And by the grace of God, she found this church, and she loves this church. She loves Pastor Im. She loves everyone here, and I'm so grateful that I'm able to send my students after graduating to this area, and that they can find this church as well. As Pastor Isaac mentioned, you know, I'm married, have three girls, so I tell people I live with four ladies. That's right, four ladies. And you can imagine, I I have a big TV, you know, come on. I have a big TV. I love football, but I don't get to watch my big TV. This is my TV right here. Between My Little Pony and I don't know what else they watch, but I don't get to watch my TV because I have to look at this, pretty much it, you know, day, and my closet space is about this big. You know, we live in a 100-year-old house. The campus that we're on is 120 years old, and our house, our cottage is literally 100 years old. We have 6 bedrooms, praise God, but all of them are filled with clothes, boots, and shoes, and bags, and you name it. You know, all 3-4 ladies, they pack up everything. My space is about this big. That's right. But I enjoy it. I enjoy my time there. You know, God has really allowed me to experience multicultural ministry in my life. My first position that I took after I graduated from seminary was I took a position near Chester, Pennsylvania. Chester, Pennsylvania. How many of you know Chester, Pennsylvania? No? South of Philly. How many of you know Tyreek Evans? Hey, there you go, some basketball player. Tyreek Evans was my student back in high school. American Christian School. I taught him English. Korean man taught him English. Because Tyreek would always say, you know, man. I said, Tyreek, you are going to play in NBA. He went to Memphis first, and then 1 year later, he went to play for, what is this, Sacramento. That's right. He went out to play Sacramento. I said, Tyreek, you can't be talking every word, you know. So I actually helped him, all right? Speak. When you're having an interview, this is how you ought to speak. Tyreek is a great guy, man of God. He has a good family. I had a privilege to work with him. But the church that I worked for, it was kind of crazy because we also had a Christian school back then. The church congregation is 95% white, 5% African-American, and then me and my wife and my daughter, all right? But the school is 95% black because Chester is a tough area, rough area. Chester, Pennsylvania is an area actually where all the drugs will come to Chester, and they put it in. School kids' school bags, and they'll distribute it to different areas, and that drug will go up to New England and all the way up to Canada. That's the distribution center. Every night, someone gets killed. In fact, it doesn't even go on news because you hear gunshots all the time, and someone dying every day, it's no big deal, right? So the parents who can afford, they would send their kids to our school because public school is so dangerous. And they would send them to our school. So Wednesday is awesome because Wednesday I still also taught at the school. And you have all these African-American kids that I'm dealing with, you know. And then all of a sudden when school's over, they would all leave. I stay and all the church members will come in. All the white church members will come in to church building for Wednesday night service. And I began to wonder, God, why did you send me to this particular church? I feel like I don't belong. I don't belong. So, especially my wife, she really, really struggled because she's a KM. She's a Korean speaking. She grew up in Korea most of her life and came to the United States and met me. And somehow she didn't want to be a pastor's wife, but God called me into ministry. Now she's in the ministry and then she's thrown into this place where she's not comfortable. No one speaks Korean. Everyone speaks English. So she felt lonely. I felt a little lonely. So we prayed, God, is this where you really want me to be? By the grace of God, God answered our prayer. We were living in a townhouse development. And one afternoon, we saw a little Korean boy playing in a playground. I was like, what in the world? So we kind of looked from the far distance because we want to make sure he was Korean. You know what I'm saying? And then we came and there was mother. And they were talking to each other in Korean. Praise God. Finally, someone Korean other than white or black, they're here. God, thank you, Lord. We didn't care, so we ran up to them and we invited them to our house and we were talking and found out that they graduated from Purdue University, got a PhD degree, and they found a job near our church. They're brand new to our development. They just moved in. So I asked them, do you have a church? I said, oh, we don't have a church. We're not Christian. You have to come to our church. You just have to come. We invited them and they came. And they joined our church and be part of our family. So it was awesome. Because now we had another Korean family that we can fellowship with. Eat some Korean food together, right? It was awesome. But we felt like, man, there's got to be something else more than this, right? Yes, I love worshiping and having worship together. But God, there's got to be a reason why you sent me to this particular location. We prayed. And a month later, I kid you not, a month later, 20 exchange students from Korea came to our townhouse development. Can you imagine that? So guess what? I reached out to them. They're, I guess, the host family. They were hosting like three kids here, three kids there, and three kids there. And I said, is it okay for me to invite all of them to my house without my wife's permission? Right? So yes, you can take them. So I brought them. I think we had like kimchi jjigae, right? That's typical. But these boys and girls were there just tearing it apart because they were so hungry for Korean food. They began to attend our church, 20 of the high school students. Right? We began to minister to them. And some of them now, they're doctors. Some of them are lawyers. Some of them went back to Korea, but I stayed in contact with many of them. I say all these to let you know that at those moments in my life, I had no clue what God was doing in my life. I didn't understand what God was doing. I didn't understand why He wanted me to experience all these things. But here I am, year 2018, serving as a chaplain at an international school. And we have kids from all over the world, all different backgrounds. And by the grace of God, I'm able to reach out to them. I'm able to connect with them. I'm able to communicate with them, regardless of their race, regardless of their background. Why? Because God allowed me to experience a lot of things. I just spoke at a youth service, and many of them, their struggle is, what's next? Those of us, you know, went through college, we understand, right? We understand what they're going through. They're praying, they're seeking God's will, and I just say, hey, you don't have to worry. God's got your back. He knows what He's doing. One thing I love about this church is the fact that there's a great relationship between the older generation and the younger generation. There's a great relationship between KM and EM. There's a great relationship that I see happening. But is that enough? Is that enough? This morning, I want to challenge you a little bit. And I think this will tie all together our last sessions that we had. As I leave you today, I want to give you this word of God. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. Now hear the word of God. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I see a baby back there. I love babies. One of the signs of growing church is cries of babies. A few minutes ago, before the service began, Pastor Lim took me to the nursery area. He said, "Oh," he said, "this is a quiet area. We can have a cup of coffee here." It was not. There was just one kid when we walked in, and then about seven or eight kids walked in afterwards. And my goodness, they were throwing the mats around and screaming and yelling. But you know what? They're the future of this church. And seeing these babies, I mean, just really blessed me because it's a sign of a great church. You know, we all are born into this world as a baby. Right? No matter how big you are, once upon a time, you are inside your mother's womb and you came into this world. And spiritually speaking, all of us have to go through that infant stage. No one comes to Christ as a mature believer. No. Regardless of your age, Paul calls these new Christians infants. Why? Because you are just starting. You are just starting. In fact, last night we talked about Paul telling us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that every believer has a place in the body of Christ, right? God has called us to different positions. And like human body, the church is considered healthy when all different parts function together. I was amazed at the fluidity of how people eat in that cafeteria, that small place. The youth ministry goes in there, eat first, and as they walk out through this door, I think the adults walk in, and after the adults, like after our service, we got to go in there and eat that seaweed, miyakob again. I love that miyakob. Right? But I also found out that you don't hire people to serve. The church members serve. The cell groups, they rotate and serve this church together. Not only that, every aspect of this church is tied together by each members. I got to meet some of the leaders here, and I'm so blessed because some of them have been in this church 20, 25, 30 years plus. And they're still serving in youth group. You don't see that in other Korean churches. You don't see old people serving in the youth group or children's ministry. Why? Because they're like, "Oh, I've done that for many, many years. I want young people to do the same." No. Here, your church is a healthy church because you see all these people working and functioning together as a body of Christ. Now today, in our passage, Paul is reminding us that now, as a healthy body of Christ, we need to mature. And he begins by telling us what maturity is not. I like that. Verse 14, he tells us that children are tossed back and forth by waves. What does that mean? Young children are what I call fickle. Fickle, right? One day, you're my best friend. You and me. Next day, I hate you. So I'm going to find someone else, best friend, right? Because we are fickle. When you're young, you are like that. You play with one toy, next day you throw that toy. Because you're tired of that toy. Right? I made a mistake early on. When I have only one child, I bought her everything. Toys R Us. No more Toys R Us. That's right. Back in the days when we had Toys R Us. I don't want a girl. I don't want Toys R Us. Anyway, you go there. Whatever she grabbed, I say, "Okay, I'm buying that for my daughter. Because I love her." What happens? She plays with it one day. And then she throws it on the side of the room. And I'm like, "Hey, I paid fortune to buy it. You got to play with it again." She said, "Nope. Nope." And then we go to Toys R Us again. And she picks another toy. So I became smart. After when she was about 5 years of age, I just take her to Toys R Us. And I realized Walmart is a little cheaper. So I take her to Walmart and let her play there. 2 hours, 3 hours, we'll play that. Never buy anything. We just come home. We just come home, right? "You want to go play Walmart?" "Yeah, let's go Walmart." Yeah? That's being smart, right? See, young people are fickle. They like one thing today and they don't like it. And you know what? Physical age has not always lined with maturity, spiritually and also normal society, right? Do you know what is the average age of gamers today? What do you think? Take a guess. All right. 30? Huh? Somebody said it. 35 years old. Average age of a gamer is 35 years old. How do I know? I Googled it. You Google it. He will tell you. 35-year-olds are average age of gamers. I have a brother who is 33 years old. And he's a professional. I mean, he's got a good job and all. But he would take 4-day vacation and play video game every year. He devote himself when the new game comes out. I don't even know what kind of game. When the new game comes out, he would devote himself. He would take 4-day vacation and play this game from the beginning till the end. He will stay up 2 nights and play and then sleep in the last night before he goes back to work. I said, you're crazy, Paul. What are you doing, man? You're 33 years old. He's the one who showed me. I'm still young, man. 35 is age, right? So maybe I shouldn't ditch people who still play video games. But, you know, there are some people, you know, they're immature. They're still living in their mom's basement playing video game when you're 35, 40 years old. Come on. You know, same thing applies to spiritual maturity. An immature believer is like this. They believe everything they see. They believe everything on the internet. You have to be careful. Remember that commercial? No? I think it was State Farm commercial. A girl walks by with this ugly looking guy. And she said, oh, he's a French model. He goes, how? What do you mean he's a French model? Well, I looked him up online. It says he's a French model. That's crazy. And people believe everything they see online. People believe everything that they hear from a pastor. I tell my congregation all the time, don't believe what I say until you read the Word of God and you examine even what I say, even as your pastor. You have to make sure for yourself that the person that is standing before you is speaking from the Word of God. Verse 14, I believe he's telling us that people who are immature, they're gullible. People fall into tricks. Little kids fall into tricks all the time. You know, I do this thumb trick, right? Where you go, you smack up, whoop. Kids love that, right? I remember growing up, my dad was a tricker too. He would get a mechanical pencil. He'd let the lead out, and he'd push the button and push it in his hand. And I would cry, Daddy, don't do that. Don't hurt yourself. He's like, ah. Gullible, fall into all kinds of tricks, right? However, gullibility is not confined to a certain age. Time to time you hear this famous celebrities fall into these Ponzi schemes, right? They allow someone else to manage their money. A couple weeks ago I read an article that Kevin Garnett, you know, basketball player, he lost like $80 million and he wants his money back. I'm like, come on. If you lost $1 or $2 million, you should have known by then. How in the world do you wait until you lose $70-80 million and realize, okay, he took my money? Right? Adults, the same thing. We are gullible. I love infomercials. How many of you love this? I love it, man. And every time I watch it, I'm like, I need to get that. I need to buy it. And I bought a couple things. Huh? I bought one of these meat slicers. I told my wife, man, we can make some bulgogi because we can slice meat this thin. I almost cut my finger off using that thing. Because it looked good on TV, but never really works in real life. You see, immature believers are susceptible to those who are deception and manipulative. When I was living in Maryland, we had a Jehovah's Witness that came into my house. Yeah. First, they thought I was Chinese, so the two Chinese ladies came. start speaking Chinese to me. I told them I'm not Chinese. So they brought Korean ladies to my house. So I just spoke English with them. So later on, they bring a white guy to my house. Wow, they're persistent. Jehovah's Witness, man. They know how to evangelize in their own way. I was traveling in France and Germany last week, and guess who I saw in the middle of the crowd? Jehovah's Witness, they're out there proclaiming their message. And if you're gullible, you will fall into their tricks. You will listen to them. You see, the only way to avoid being blown away by the winds of religious fed or the call is that you have to be mature in your faith. You have to anchor yourself in truth. And how do we do that? By looking into the Word of God. Now, Paul continues. He tells us what maturity is. Verse 15, he says, maturity is when you speak the truth in love. Speaking truth in love. This involves speaking, living, and doing the truth. All of us, as Christians, we must be truth tellers. Why? Because God Himself is the truth. And we ought to reflect His character. And by the blessing of the Lord, I see that among many of your church members that are sitting here today. However, let me ask you, when was the last time you shared the gospel with someone? When was the last time you actually told somebody about Jesus Christ? Paul tells us that not only you speak the truth, not only you share the gospel, not only share life with other people, but you do it in love. Remember, we talked about this last night, right? Always with love. If love is missing, then it's nothing. With love. You know, it's amazing. Even my own children, even though I'm upset, sometimes I have to discipline them. My daughters know that I love them. They also know when I'm disciplining them because I'm upset. It's amazing. They know the difference. I don't own a dog, but my friends, they say their dogs even know when the owners are loving them or they're just upset at them. It's amazing. There's something that binds us together. And we can sense that, oh, that person genuinely cares about me, or that just person is just doing that out of facade. There's got to be genuine love that is happening with mature people. And I know sometimes we don't want to tell the truth because we think that that's the loving way to do it. Especially when you've been together for so long. As a church members, you kind of know each other, right? And they know you and you know them. So it's hard for you to tell that person is living in sin. Or that person is doing something wrong because, you know, I have some sin in my life too, and who am I to tell that person? Because the Bible said, don't judge one another. But I sense the Holy Spirit telling me that as a church here, in order for us to move up to the next level, to reach out to this community and bring lost people to Christ through this church, you must tell truth to one another in love. In love. And my advice, when I especially tell those people, hey, should I tell my friend about this? I say, pray, pray, pray. Pray until God gives you that moment of right time. And then you approach that person and say it. You know, as parents, I have to discipline my daughters. And I hate disciplining my daughters. I hate it. Oh my goodness, my little one, Joanna, she's 7 years old and she looks up at me and she's got these big eyes and watery eyes and she's crying, you know. Breaks my heart. But because I love her, I have to discipline her. I have to tell her, no, you can't do that. But all my friends are doing it. No, you can't do that. We have a rule. My wife and I it's just our rule. We don't let our kids sleep at other people's house. We just don't. We don't have slumber parties. We don't. And my daughters are like, why? Come on, I'm 14. They're my friends. You know them, Dad. Why can't I go sleep? Sorry. Go talk to mom. We have these rules, and as a parent, I gotta do that. Sometimes they don't like it, but I have to do it to protect them. Telling truth really requires a balance, right? We are to speak uncompromising truth with compassion and love, and that's sometimes very difficult. There's a passage in the Bible that talks about taking the plank out of your own eye before you see the dust in someone else's eye. Right? You know that passage. It's so easy to see other people's shortcomings. And we could be that quick and say, hey, what's wrong with you? You shouldn't do that. But there's got to be that balance. A mature Christian, mature believer understand that there's right timing and right method of approaching that person. There's one more factor here. We who desire to speak the truth in love must also, here's a key point, also be willing to receive loving truth from others. And that is a huge sign of maturity. Huge sign of maturity. I remember a couple years ago I was preaching and I was not as sensitive to people who committed suicide. In my sermon, I say something like, you know, people who commit suicide, they don't really care about their life. They don't really care how precious God's life is. And it is a sin. And one of my members approached me. And he said, his brother committed suicide. And it was very painful for him to hear me say those words. So I repented. I asked him for forgiveness. You're right, I was very insensitive. Because sometimes depression, all these things, you don't have control over sometimes. And for me to stand as a man of God and then I'm pulping and say things about people who committed suicide, it was wrong of me. So I repented. Even pastors, we make mistakes, right? Leaders, we make mistakes. But mature believers acknowledge their mistake. Mature believers willing to hear the feedbacks of the people and say, hey, what's wrong with you? No, you receive it. You heed to the comments that other people are telling you. Mature believer begin to see the needs of others and see the needs beyond their own sphere. They see the impact of their choices on others. They're willing to surrender their will to the will of God. Good friend of mine, Scotty Curley, that's his name, Scotty Curley. He's a professor down at Liberty University. He's half Korean. Mother's Korean, father, he's a white guy. And he and I grew up in Korea. Speaks perfect Korean. He doesn't look like Korean, but he speaks perfect Korean. He's into movies. Those of you that saw a movie, saw an older movie, The War Room. Remember that movie, War Room? He played the boss. He's the one that fired the main character. Right, Scott? But he does not watch rated R movies. He does not watch PG-13 movies. I mean, he's making movies, but he doesn't watch any of these movies. So I said, Scotty, how come you don't watch these movies? He said, it's not honoring God. And I'm convicted. And I'm convicted not to watch even some of the PG-13. He will read the reviews. He knows all the movies because he's into movie industry. He knows, but he said, I don't have to watch them. I wonder not. So I'm like, come on, man. Everybody watches rated R movies. What's wrong with Christians watching rated R? He's convicted not to watch rated R movie. So what do I do? When I see Scotty, I don't judge him. I accept his own faith, his own stand. See, mature believers understand and sit in the other person's seat, be in their shoes and try to understand where they're coming from. With this many people, you will always have differences. However, mature believers understand your own action, your words will make impact on other people. mature believers. We see it in church. You know, they are the ones that are welcoming everybody. The worship time is filled with Holy Spirit. They're eager to learn. They're eager to get to know each other better. In fact, mature believers, mature Christians, check their egos out at the door before they enter into this congregation. Now, here's a question. What do we need to do in order for us to mature in our faith? And like I said, it goes back to the Friday night. The word, what was the word? Abide. That is it. Verse 15, he says, instead of speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him, Jesus, who is the head, that is Christ. In order for us to mature as a believer, we must spend time with Jesus Christ. How do we do that? By reading God's Word. We must hear God's Word. And I'm not talking about just listening in one ear and let it go the other ear. No. If your favorite athlete, favorite actress, favorite whatever hero is standing before you, you will listen to them, right? I love NFL. I love football. As I get older, I think it's one of my favorite sports. I love reading statistics. I love when they come out and do interview. I read it. And you know what? I pay more attention to some of that stuff than sermon. Because I just know there's an interest. We must have that kind of interest in God's Word. We listen like we would as a cherished mentor or close friend speaking to us. We shouldn't just listen to the Word of God or read Word of God as though it's an assignment, that it's a duty. I got to read one chapter and now I'm done. No. Let the Word of God come alive in your life. Also, you must pray. Pray. Thank you for your prayer, BJ. Your prayer needs to be a conversation to God. I share with young people, I said, youth, yell at God if you have to. Cry out to Him. Tell Him you're angry. Tell Him you're upset. Tell Him how you feel. Because God knows you. God knows your heart. You have to spend time in prayer. And in order for you to mature, I think we could do this in this church. Not only you study the Word of God, not only you pray, you study those who appear to be more mature in the faith. And you see many of leaders here, many of servants. I just didn't say leaders, many of the servants here. Tell them to pray for you. Could you just mentor me a little bit? Could you just help me because I'm struggling in this particular area? And I noticed you just have it all together. Could you help me? And let me tell you, some of the leaders, they're going through struggles. I didn't know. I'm not going to mention that person's name, but that person's wife just lost her job, and he lost his job too. And you wouldn't know just by looking at them. They're serving in this church. They served in lunch today. But right before I came into this store, he came up to me and said, Pastor Sam, could you pray for me? I said, what's up? He goes, yeah, my wife was just laid off a few months ago. And I closed down my business. And I just need God's direction. I said, really? I had no idea. Because he has a huge smile and he's serving in church. I had no idea you were going through all this. And yet, because he is a mature believer, he trusts in the Lord. You see, just because they have it all together, that doesn't mean their life is all together. No, everybody has issues. Everybody's dealing with all kinds of stuff. But you reach out to that person and say, hey, I don't know how you do it. Could you help me? Because I'm struggling. And I say to you guys, because I believe this church, you can do that. You can truly minister to one another. You can minister to everybody that is in this room and everybody, KM, EM, and all the children. You can do that because God has equipped you. And I believe that is what God is telling me you to continue your ministry. Find someone that you can look up to. You know, as a pastor, I learned from great preachers of the past. I try to read, I try to listen, I try to study from them. Spurgeon, you know? John Piper, Moody. These guys, I listen to them, I read them. Why? Because I have to grow. Third, check if you are growing spiritually. You know, as a parent, we celebrate the milestones that our children reach, right? The first step, the first word, first day of school, man. We celebrate the day that our children get their driver license, and we celebrate the day when they go off to college, right? Well, you need to have some milestones, spiritually speaking. Here's some milestones. Celebrate when you develop a daily time with God. That's a baby step. You must dedicate a daily devotional time with God. Celebrate when you are able to share gospel with someone else. Share that with me. Share it with your pastor. Guess what? I share Jesus with someone else. Celebrate that. When you begin to give to the Lord cheerfully rather than out of duty, celebrate that. When we start reading out those who are hurting among us, that's a sign that you are maturing. You get to see beyond yourself. When you begin to use your gift and talents for the glory of God and for the sake of others, celebrate those milestones in your life. Let me sum it up by just saying this. You know, God doesn't expect immature young infants to be immature believers. No. But at the same time, if you've been Christian for 5, 10 years and beyond, you should be mature. You shouldn't be struggling with just your own sin. That's what babies do. Even though you have your struggles, you begin to see the needs of others. God wants us to grow, mature, contribute, and be an example of what Christ can and will do in the human hearts. Why? Because it tells us in verse 16, from Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. None of us sitting here are too old to grow up. No. All of us are in that same boat. Some of us are here, some of us are here, but we are growing together. And that's what church is all about. That's what discipleship is all about. It never ends. It always continues. And God will always challenge you. He will always prune you year after year so that you and I become more and more like Him until the day that He takes us to our eternal home, where He tells us, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come into the kingdom of God. And until that day, we don't give up. Until that day, we continue to grow. Until that day, we continue to serve. I don't know when I'll be back, but next time I come back, Lord willing, I hope all of you are here. I hope all of you are serving. I love all of you are far mature than you are today. Let us pray. Father God, man, I said a lot of things, didn't I? Now, Holy Spirit, would you help just purge out the things that you don't need to remember? I just ask the Holy Spirit to just put your word in the hearts of your people. Perhaps we need humility. Perhaps we just need to be a little more disciplined. Perhaps we need to see the needs of others than keeping eyes for ourselves. I don't know, but Lord, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit will touch the hearts of your people. Individually touch us, speak to us. And for us, Lord Father God, help us to listen. You never demand anything that we cannot do. So Father God, as we surrender, as we abide in you, Father God, have your will done through us. Lord, I bless this church. What a great church. Father God, I pray that this church will truly become the beacon, the lighthouse in this community. May they look to this church and have a great desire to join. I pray that you will use this church to share the gospel, to expand your kingdom in this area. Lord, I pray for your blessing until we meet again. I pray in Jesus' name.